Thank you, Sherry and John. Go back to Isaiah 11 now. I know what Brother Clay preached. Spoke with him briefly. I know what Brother Marvin preached. I know what Brother Mark Daniel preached. And those of you who were in Kingsport know what David preached and what Mike preached. They preached, all of them preached Christ. That's not just a saying, is it? We really do preach Christ. Christ said, they, the Scripture, are they which testify of me. To him give all the prophets witness. That's Moses, that's Samuel, that's Elijah, that's Isaiah, that's Jeremiah, that's all, that's the whole Old Testament. God the Father bore witness of him from heaven. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And he told them to hear him. Hear him. Spirit of God. He's declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness. Spirit of God bears witness of him. Prophets, the apostles, evangelists, pastors, true ones sent by God, teachers, all preach Christ because he's the message of Scripture. God demands it. Sinners who don't know him need to know him. Those who don't know Christ need to meet him. And this is how he reveals himself, through the preaching of his gospel. Those who do know Christ need to know him better, need to see him and believe him more fully. So we really do preach Christ. This chapter, you read it with me. Who can that be speaking of but the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? Look at verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord, shall rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel, the might, spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. It begins with an and, doesn't it? And. Go back to chapter 10. This is not a good place for a chapter to start. Chapter 10, verse 24, the Lord said, Lord of hosts, O my people, that dwellest in Zion. He's talking to his church, his people. Be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt, or like Pharaoh did to my people in Egypt. But this is of the Lord. This Assyrian, the Assyrian king, all through Scripture, has always represented Satan, the god of this world. King of Assyria, back then, was the most powerful foe on earth, and he always represents Satan. So he says to his people, to us now, he says, don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of him. Verse 25. Just a little while, and the indignation shall cease, my anger in their destruction. A little while, the Lord says of Satan in the Revelation, he knows he has a short time. He knows it. Says a little season in chapter 19. A little season. But verse 26, the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him. As his rod, you see that, was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. In other words, his people are coming out. His people that are held captive by Satan, and all of them are until the Lord comes through his word and delivers them. He said they're coming out. With his rod. We just read about that rod, didn't we? The rod of Jesse. They're coming out with his rod. He's going to part the Red Sea, and they're going to come over dry shod. Verse 27, I will take away, he said, in that day this burden shall be taken off from thy shoulder, his yoke from off thy neck. He's going to lead captivity captive. Our captor will be led and paraded for us to see. He's enchained. And our Lord even said that, didn't it? Verse 33, "Behold, the Lord of hosts shall lop the bow with terror, and the high ones hewn down. The haughty shall be humbled. He shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one, a powerful one." And so that's why it begins with "and." Chapter 11. A mighty one. Who might that be? Psalm 89 says, the Lord says, "I have laid help on one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from among the people." Who is this that cometh from Bozra with garments dyed red, red in his apparel? "I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." The Lord Jesus Christ. "I have laid help on one that is mighty to save, able to save the uttermost. And he shall come forth, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots." You know, Isaiah 53 says, "He shall grow up before God as a root out of dry ground." A little, this rod means, first of all, a twig. A seemingly small and weak thing, like a baby. A baby. Even, have you thought about this? Even as an infant in arms, he had the whole world up in arms. Didn't he? Herod was worried about a child. Oh, this child, his name is Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Government No End. Such a lowly and humble and poor beginning of our Lord, wasn't it? Root out of dry ground. No form or comeliness. Such low and humble and poor beginnings, but such a high and lofty and glorious end. From a manger to a throne. The stem or the stump of Jesse. That's what stem means. The rod out of the stump of Jesse. The family, the lineage of Jesse was just about gone. Do you know that? The family of Jesse was just about gone. It was just a remnant, like a stump, like you cut off a family tree. This is where we get this term, I believe, family tree, a rod, a branch. And Jesse's family was just about gone. Doesn't say David, does it? It doesn't say a rod or a root out of David. It does say that in another place, but not here. To show us his lowly beginnings, how he came from an insignificant family. You know who Jesse's great-grandmother was? Harlot named Rahab. Would you claim your great grandmother for that? No one famous in his line until David. Jesse. I have been messing around with my family tree the last few months looking for nobility. And I found some. I did. Some Scottish lairds. Lords of castles over in Scotland, but they probably ran around in skirts, so they weren't too noble. But and even a chief of some kind of Indian tribe, of all things. But not Jesse. Not Jesse. Our Lord, you see, was numbered with the transgressors. People like Tamar were in his line, an incestuous woman. And you know why, don't you? You know why. We know why he became flesh and poorest of the poor, for his glory. Our Lord's greatest glory was how he condescended. He who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. That's his greatest glory. The king left glory for who? To come down and save who? This is his greatest glory, his condescension. That God would come to earth, not for good people, not for the righteous people, but for the chief of sinners. That's his greatest glory. And he did this for his glory, his condescension for his glory, and he did it for sinners. This, I will never tire of quoting this verse. And I hope you'll never tire of hearing it. If you're a sinner, you won't. This is a faithful saying. It's true. It really is true that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. Sinners. He was numbered with them. He was born among them. He lived for them. He ate and drank with them. This man receiveth sinners. He's a friend of sinners, publicans and sinners. Aren't you glad? This man eateth and drinketh with sinners. He lived for them. He died for them. He was crucified between two thieves. He had a thief hung on the cross right beside him to save him. That was his day. And he ever lives, Scripture says, to make intercession for them. All right, verse 2 describes him. It says, the Spirit of the Lord, and there should be a capital S there. It is in the original. I don't know why. I don't know why they missed that, but it's in the original. The Holy Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Come to rest. You don't have to turn, but John 1, this is what, and this is recorded in all four Gospels. Some things are recorded in one or two Gospels, some three. When something's recorded in all four, it is greatly significant. Vitally important. Listen to this. John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from above, from heaven, like a dove, and it abode upon him, upon Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I knew him not. And we don't know him either until we see the Holy Spirit, what we're going to see tonight. The Spirit anointing him, resting on him. We don't know him until the Holy Spirit makes him known to him. John said, I bear record, and I saw him descend and abode on Christ, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. And he says this to us. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he. The same is he. That's him. Which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And John said, I saw the Spirit, and bear record, this is the Son of God. And this is how we know him, folks. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, come and abide upon him. Now, this is not just having the Spirit. We have the Spirit in measure. He has the Spirit without measure. We have the Spirit given to us. That's what our Lord said. When I leave, I'll send my Holy Spirit that he may abide with you and be in you. Okay? But this is more than just having the Spirit, because Christ is God. And this is him being anointed by the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit coming and bearing witness of him and hovering and resting on him. Saying, as it were, to all who's looking for the Christ, if you're looking for the Christ, this is him. You don't need to look any further. This is him. In Isaiah 61, I do want you to turn there. Because the word, the name Christ, do you know what it means? It means anointed one. Anointed one. Isaiah wrote this. He was not speaking of himself any more than he was in Isaiah 53, was he? David, in Psalm, we heard Brother Mike preach from Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross. David was not speaking of himself. He was speaking of the Lord. And no man can say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Oh, no. Oh, no. But Christ did. The first message he preached was this right here. When he came to his hometown, to Nazareth, and they said, speak. And the first thing he said to everyone, his first public message was, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Read it. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive. Oh, I need this. And I need to hear the gospel, don't you? Need Christ to preach it. Through a man, yes, but I need to hear him. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound, captives and chained, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is, the Lord's accepting application for mercy. All that come unto God by him, he's accepting. This is the acceptable year. The day of vengeance of our God. He's going to avenge us of our adversary to comfort all that mourn. Anybody mourning? Christ said, I'm he, the comforter. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Oh, he's going to change these vile bodies. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, we're so weighed down with heaviness, aren't we? From sin and trials. Oh, he's going to give us a garment of praise. That we might be called the trees of righteousness. Planting of the Lord. Why? Why did he do all this? That he might be glorified. So, in our text, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Christ. And he did. And here's how we know him. Here's what the Spirit of the Lord bears witness of him to our spirit. Here's what he does. Listen to it. Listen to it. Listen. Watch this now. Because we say, the Scripture says Christ is all. That means he's all we need. He's made unto us all things that we need. Christ is made or declared, preached to us, given to us, supplied to us, all that we need. We need wisdom. We don't have any. Christ is our wisdom. We need righteousness. We don't have any. Christ is our right. We need sanctification, holiness. We don't have any. Christ made that. Redemption. He might, power, all these things. All that we need, Christ has made for us. He came to be these things for us. All that we are not, he is for us. Okay? All right, here it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, abide on him, the Spirit of wisdom. Go back to Proverbs 8. Spirit of wisdom. Now, we have acted foolishly, haven't we? All of us have played the fool. And we've suffered fools gladly. We have been a fool. We will be a fool. We will always act foolishly. Even David said, I was a fool until I came into the sanctuary. But Christ is our wisdom, he said. We have been fooled, and we will be fooled. We will fool ourselves. That's how fooled we are. Christ has made unto us wisdom. You can't fool him. Proverbs 8, verse 1. I heard Brother Marvin preach two messages from this. Old messages. Be worth listening to. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Yes, he did. Wisdom came and cried and spoke unto us. Verse 4 and 5. Unto you, O men, I call. Of my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple. Who needs wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, James said, let him ask that the Lord will give it liberally. Give what? It's not a thing. It's a person, the Lord, as your wisdom. Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Verse 8 and 9. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. It's hard to find anyone today speaking, and a lot of people are speaking. A lot of voices, aren't there? It's hard to find anybody saying anything that's not perverse. Isn't it? And forward or double-tongued. Isn't it? Oh, all the words of my mouth. There's nothing forward, reaved, or hidden and perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth. I like that. I've always liked that verse. Truth's plain if the Lord gives you understanding. and writes to them that find knowledge, receive my instruction. Verse 20, go down there. I lead in the way of righteousness. This is Christ in the midst of the path of judgment. I want to walk in paths of righteousness, don't you? Well, Christ said, I lead there. No one else does. Verse 34, and I have about a dozen messages to bring to you, and this is one of them right here. Verse 34, blessed is the man, the woman that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. Oh, how blessed to hear, to watch, and to wait. So whoever finds me finds life. That's wisdom. Christ has made unto us wisdom. Go back to the text. Spirit of wisdom is upon him. And understanding. Understanding. We don't really understand anything. You know that? We don't fully understand anything. I think about Job and his friends. They sat and talked for days, maybe weeks. And the Lord said Job spoke right about him. But now Job said, after it's all over, he said, I've spoken things too wonderful for me. Things I didn't understand. Things too high for me. Our Lord said to his disciples, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them right now. You don't understand. It's a lifetime, I believe, to get any kind of understanding. We really don't understand much of anything, do we? Man's understanding, Scripture says, is darkened. Natural man. And the only way we have any understanding is through Christ. He's made unto us understanding. He has perfect understanding. We don't fully understand God's ways, do we? God's decree. I don't understand why Brother Charles lies there in the state that he's in. Do you? No. We don't. There's so many things we don't understand. So many things. But Christ did. And he does. He understands God. He understands man. And he understands me. I don't understand me. Do you understand you? No, you don't. That Job said this, why am I thus? You ever say that? You think, finally I've arrived. Finally I've made some progress. Finally I've gotten over this or gotten over that. And then you do the most childish thing. You act like a complete unbeliever and you say, why did I do that? Why did I think that? Why did I act like that? Why am I thus? I don't understand me. Thank God Christ does. He understands. He knows our frame. He knows you're nothing but and never will be anything but flesh. And he has pity. Aren't you glad he understands? We don't understand each other. That's why we get mad at each other. He never gets mad. He's slow to anger because he understands us. He understands us. Look at the next thing. He has a spirit of counsel. I need counsel. Don't you? I need someone wise, someone who knows. I need someone who's been there to tell me what to do. The older I get, the more I realize I don't know. I need a counselor. And I'm telling you what. There's only one. Really. His name shall be called. And this is actually two words. Or these two go together, don't they, Ed? Wonderful counselor. Oh, his testimony, his words, David said, have been my counselors. Oh, Lord, speak to me. Oh, Lord, lead me. Oh, Lord, guide me. Oh, Lord, teach me. Oh, Lord, instruct me. Please be my counselor. Can't find any wise counselors today. Only fools. Might. Oh, spirit of might. Power. Well, we just don't know. And I'm going to try to say something about it. But This word is force. Might is force. It's a military term. Armed forces. Okay? Powerful forces. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers or forces. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness. Unseen. Spiritual. Unseen wickedness in high places. Enemies that are too strong for us. And we're surrounded by them. We don't see them, thank the Lord, or we would be in utter terror. I think about this nation, how we've dwelled in such safety for so long. And really, it's not been that long. It's not been that long. But it just seems like it to us, because we've lived in relative safety and security, haven't we? That won't last. And we might see it in our generation. Every generation up to us has lived in under terrible wars and deprivations and so forth. It may be coming our way. It may be. Forces all around us, though, of evil. Around us and working in us. Against us. We need someone higher than the President of the United States. He's like Pharaoh. He has no power at all. He's like Herod. He has no power at all except it be given him on the bed. We need someone who's mighty. Someone who's able to save, mighty to save. Someone stronger than our adversary. Someone stronger than me and you. We need someone with not just some might, but with all might. We need an almighty God. That's why He said, call me. This is the name you're going to call me. And this is what I refer to Him as. Brother Marvin always calls Him this way. God Almighty. Not might, just mighty, but Almighty. Didn't Christ say, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Come unto me. You afraid? We need one with all might, all power, force, able to force the issue. Brother, which one? Mike preached the song of the shepherd, and he talked about our Lord, the shepherd, being out in front of his sheep when they came to take him in the garden, remember? And Pink, he got this from Pink. Pink said the Lord didn't wait for them to come to him. He took the battle to them. He didn't wait for them to come. He wasn't waiting, you know, in a defensive posture. No. He went out in front of them and said, who are you looking for? Like Moses came in to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. What, cowed down? The Lord came out there. Mighty. Powerful. Almighty. Oh, when this says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Gates don't fight you. Do they? Gates don't fight. You storm them. You and I don't. He did. He's the one that came to crush the serpent's head. We don't do that. He did that. He said, now is the God of this world, the prince of this world, cast out. When he was about to hang on the cross. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And the violent one, who's that? Jesus Christ takes it by force. By force. We need someone, not who offers us salvation, but commands it. No way. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Which one? David preached on, and this is fitting, Mephibosheth. He sent that, David, the greatest king on earth, sent that command to that man who couldn't come if he wanted to, who wouldn't come because he's an enemy. He sent that command and said, fetch him! Is he coming or what? We need someone with all might, and we have him. All might, the spirit of might, of power, of force. I need someone who preached on this.
Mike, the good shepherd maketh me to lie down in green pasture. I need him to make me lie down. If not, I'll run. I need him to lay hold of me like old Jacob, don't you? This is Jacob's God, Mac, and this is my God, who comes to all his people and wrestles them with force, Kelly. Gets them down on the ground and say, cry. Force. I need someone to force me to come, don't you? This is good. Because you, no man can come unto the Father. You will not come unto me that you might have life, Christ said. But Christ comes and says, I have the power to make them all come. The shepherd has the power. He has the voice. He has the power to make every single one of them come. And they do. They come. I need someone to force me to lie down in green pasture. I need someone to ride this wild ass's colt. I don't need a horse whisperer. I need a horse breaker. Don't you? Ride me. Lay hold of my enemy. I need someone to lay hold of my enemy. Me. Lay hold of me. Someone to bring me. Someone to make me willing. Someone to teach me, lead me, guide me, keep me, constrain me, restrain me. Don't you? Spirit of might is upon him. That's why Jacob said, if you, knowing me, Jacob said, knowing me, if and I'm leaving, going into a foreign country, and if you keep me in all my ways, and provide for me if I don't blow it, and you deliver me from all my enemies, and you bring me all the way back home, and preserve everything, you're my God. That's my God. That's God of Jacob. Spirit of might upon him. And knowledge. Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. They go together. Fear of the Lord, know the Lord, to know the Lord, to fear the Lord. Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. By his knowledge. Isaiah wrote in chapter 53. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify me. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows God. We don't know much about him. He knows the law. He knows every jot, every tittle, every precept, every command, every requirement of the law. And it must be perfect to be accepted. Our Lord said this to John, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Us? Don't you know John will say, us? I break his law, but there's such a union there that what he fulfilled, John, I fulfill. What he did, I did. His works are my work. He works in us. By his knowledge. And he hath knowledge of God, of man, of me, of the law. He has knowledge. He knows me. Oh my, what a blessed thought. Both a fearful thought and a blessed thought. And of the fear of the Lord. Fear, this fear, and I've been trying to preach on it a good while. Heard others preach. My pastor preached the best message I've ever heard on it. But I'm not sure I really understand it. I tell you this, I know I don't fear him like I should. Or I wouldn't sin like I do. You know that? He said, there is forgiveness with thee, Psalm 130. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Do you understand that? But our Lord feared. Now, I don't understand that. But the Lord Jesus Christ, it said, he was heard in that he fear. Reverence, devotion to his name, his fear not fearing, not glorifying him, fearing reproach. I don't know. No, but knowing God's holiness, our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing God's holiness, knowing his wrath against sin, We don't know that. The Lord hides it from us, pretty much. He cried. Now here's what he did. The Lord hanging on the tree, the first words, the words that pierced my hard heart years ago, these are the words. By His knowledge and the fear of the Lord, hanging on the cross, the first thing He said on my behalf was, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing in the face of the Holy God. And I still don't. But he does. Do you see why we need an advocate? Do you see why we need a mediator? We see why we need someone that fears God for us? Oh, my. I love this verse, and I think about it often as a supposed leader. Someone who's supposed to lead. Trying to. I think of this verse David said, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord, knowing who you answer to, knowing whose people you rule over. Christ knew that. He knew that. That's why the next verse says, He'll be quick. This fear will make him of quick understanding, keen understanding. Keen understanding, quick. You notice the margin says smell or scent. I got to hurry. I'm going to skip through some of this. But it says, let's just read on. He will not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ear. And I'm so thankful. He said that. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that. I don't judge by my sight or hearing. I judge righteousness. And I'm so thankful. We don't have this. We don't have this righteous judgment. We often exercise very poor, unrighteous judgment. And we judge wrongly. We judge why? How? What we see and what we hear, or supposedly heard. And that's so fallible, isn't it? Me, my hearing's bad. You don't want me judging you on what I heard you say. That's for sure. Or sight. The judge of all the earth, though, does right. He judges right. We judge others wrongly, and we are judged wrongly, aren't we? Aren't you glad that our Lord is our judge? Aren't you glad that we stand or fall before our Lord Jesus Christ who judges us? Aren't you? There was a time when Noah was lying drunk. And if you'd have seen him, you'd have thought, there ain't no way he's a child of God. Or Abraham, a coward, not once but twice. You would have said, by the sight of your eye and the hearing of your ear, there ain't no way he's a child of God. Lot had to be dragged out of Sodom. What, did you love Sodom, Lot? There ain't no way he's a child of God. And then a little bit later, after a great deliverance, no, Lot's no child of God. There ain't no way. I saw him do this. I heard him say that. David. Scratching on the door. And slobber running down his face. And you don't think you played the fool? David did. And that's why he wrote Psalm 36 right after that. This poor man, this poor excuse for a believer, cried and the Lord heard him. This fool, he acted like a fool. Aren't you glad? He knows us better than we know ourselves. Aren't you glad? He doesn't judge by what we say or what we do, because our mouths constantly condemn us. Our actions constantly condemn us before God and before others. But there is therefore now no condemnation. To what? To who? Those that walk right? Those that are in Christ. How am I? I've laid help on one that's mighty. You hear me? Oh, the girdle of his loins. He says he'll smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. I don't know hardly what to say to people. Often a coward he wasn't. He wasn't. I love thinking about those disciples hiding behind him while he faced the Pharisees for. I love that, don't you? Righteousness, the girdle of his loins. Faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. Girdle is what holds everything together. Holds everything up. Everything from falling apart. We use belt now. Some of you can't get one of those on you. Have to use suspenders, galluses, you know. But they used to wear a girdle much wider than our belts. And this is what everything held his armor together. And swords and everything hung on this. Everything hangs on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is held together by what? His faithfulness. His righteousness. Everything. That's his girdle, his loins, his very inner being. Now look at this. I wanted to get to this. Here's the result of his reign and his rule and his kingdom being set up here on earth and in his that is in his church and in the hearts of his people. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling, they'll be together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed together. Their young ones shall lie down together. A lion shall eat straw like an ox. The sucking child play on the hole of the ass. The weaned child put his hand on a snake's den. What's all that say? Well, it's saying that those who are of the meanest and the most violent, full of enmity and hatred by their wicked works, he's able to subdue. And he only is able to make a wolf lie down with a lamb. A lion not devour a kid. Here's an example. Saul, Tarsus, says he went around breathing out threatenings and slaughter, going about from house to house, devouring people, hailing them, men and women and young people. Saul of Tarsus. What happened to him? A little while later, you hear the story, because Jesus Christ, this mighty one to save, came to Saul and said, "Saul." And that mighty opponent hit the dust. And he turned him into a lamb. That lion. And it says after that, after before he was injurious and a persecutor and a blasphemer and breathing out slaughters and threatening, says he was, it says he was with them, with the church, going and coming. Follower. He's a follower. A little child should lead them. Jeremiah said, "Lord, I'm a child." Jeremiah was about 24 years old. Spurgeon was 19. 19! How would you like to have a 19-year-old pastor? How are you going to get 70-year-old people to follow a 19-year-old? You won't. He won't. God will. God will. They'll lie down together. The Lord gives a new nature. Lion eating sheep food. Here's a better illustration. The ark. Noah's ark. Christ's ark. The ark of Christ. The ark that Noah built. Inside that ark were animals of all sorts, weren't they? Lions, tigers, and bears, and lambs, and kids, and goats. And were they fighting? Were they devouring one another? Peace. How? How did that happen? Well, everybody in the ark is at peace with one another. I don't think there were doors on their stalls. Kelly, I don't think there were doors on their stalls. Now, you don't want to go anywhere. Like an old wild horse been out, and now he's found shelter and food and water and all that he could possibly eat. Keep the door open. I ain't leaving. Oh, my. Little child, they'll play with a snake. That's not handling snakes. You know that. But meaning that nothing shall harm them. Poison of asps won't harm us. It's on everybody's lips. They shall not hurt, verse 9, nor destroy in all my holy mountain, any or all. They will not hurt them. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. This is the only thing that will keep us from harm, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, after all these years, and I quit, after all these years, and this is a sad fact, but it's true, even in our modern society, so-called modern civilized society, blacks and whites do not dwell together. Do they? Indians, Mexicans, blacks, Mexicans? No. They have a hatred for one another. Isn't that so? People of various races cannot and do not and will not. I know there's some exceptions by the grace of God, but very few. They cannot, they do not truly dwell together in harmony. The only way. See, all men are equal. That's true. Equally bad. Equally evil and corrupt. Equally depraved. And we hate one another by nature. Children of wrath. But God, this is the only way Gentile. You know how much Jews hate Gentiles? They hate them. And vice versa. But in Christ, there's no Jew, no Gentile, no male, no female, no red, no poor, no black, no white, no cut. They're all equal. The only thing that equalizes is the sovereign grace of God. The only thing that will cause us to dwell together. Down in Franklin, Tennessee, there's a church, Brother Chris Cunningham, his pastor, your family goes there. One black man. One. Been there a long time, hasn't he? Long time. One. Let me ask you, if you're the only white person in here, what could keep you? The grace of God. The gospel of God. He can't find it anywhere else. So he stays right there. But they don't look at him as a black man. He's a brother. We're all a bunch of sinners. You see that? The Spirit of the Lord. He's the only one who can do this. He must do this. All right, stand with me. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word. Oh, how we thank you. It is our wisdom, knowledge, understanding, making us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. Oh Lord, these are not just doctrines, concepts, theology. This is Christ. It's all Him. We see dimly. We preach in part. Oh, how we thank you for that. We do know and do understand Him. Oh Lord, increase our understanding, our knowledge of Him. May we see Him as all and in all. See in Him who is wisdom, all the so-called wisdom of this world. Such foolishness. Such utter foolishness. Oh, that which people call foolishness, this preaching of the gospel, we esteem highly as the wisdom and power of our God. Power of our Christ, mighty one. Oh Lord, keep us here. Keep us hearing. How blessed is the man or the woman who hears you, watches daily at your gates, waiting at the post of your door. Bring us back this Lord's Day to hear your word again. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.